Welcome to another EAH podcast with Mia Young,
Ian Roy,
Sophia Papp,
and Anya Peters.
Today we are going to be reading the poem by Alfred Korn titled Conch from Sicily. The attic once my nursery is like, an early language no longer spoken, a babble too small ever again to house adults. Yet the spiral stair remains, Maestro Fibonacci the builder, who made it pirouette downward like clockwork Cala. In the southern hemisphere, it would run counterclockwise. Yet I, as well as the conches down under, have a silhouette like South America, and we all smooth the path that clothes our foot with orange coral enamel paneling and floor. As far down on this loosely furled calyx, one concave rondo's calm finale, or, if not the last, then the next to last summing up a single word, il tempo, weather, speed, time. And what's unique about this poem is it's our first one we are discussing that the text is written in a specific shape on the page. The lines are arranged so that it's a single stanza in the shape of a conch.
I noticed that it
looks like South America.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
Yeah.
I just realized it kind of looks like South America.
It expands and then it narrows again.
Yes.
For people that don't know what we're talking about.
We encourage you to look it up.
If you sure they know South America.
Yeah. Anyways, so given that observation, our first question we want to explore is how does the shape of the poem contribute to the content of the poem and its meaning?
Well, we talked about the Fibonacci cycle because it's in the poem. And reoccurring cycles, it kind of expands and then ends where it started. So I kind of see it like that. It's kind of like just expresses the cycle.
Mm-hmm. I see it also as, like, everything kind of goes back to nature. And, like, the Fibonacci sequence or whatever, it, you know, it's found everywhere in nature. It's found in, you know, feathers, plants, flowers, like, anything like that. And we see it again in the shape of the poem, even.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like he purposely put it in that just to, like, exemplify nature in itself.
Yeah. Like, the language, just, like, a pirouette downward, like, clockwork,
mm-hmm.
and just lots of language, like you said, that create an image
mm-hmm.
of some sort of cycle and some sort of, like, it's almost dizzying to read this
yeah.
because
mm-hmm.
you have to follow this awkward line shape and your
right.
speaking is a little bit cut off as you go to read. So it does feel like you're winding in circles, going back to the beginning of the line.
Yeah.
So as it talks about language and about nature and a conch, weather, speed, and time, it's building this, like, theme of a cycle and some sort of, like, rhythm to nature.
Yeah.
I agree. With all of, like, the use of vocabulary and the wordage in here, it does read like you're spinning in a circle, like you're following this pattern. Like, the vocabulary is showing you, it's kind of making you feel how
mm-hmm.
the sequence actually is.
Mm-hmm. And it, like, adds, like, as you read it, the very thing that it's describing kind of feels like it's following the language. Like,
mm-hmm.
It says, like, this, well, first of all, it mentions in the beginning, an early language no longer spoken, a babble too small ever again to house adults, yet the spiral stair remains, Maestro Fibonacci the builder, who made it pirouette downwards like a clockwork Cala. And that spiraling of language
mm-hmm.
now is like the actual poem, and in poetry there's some sort of spiral that has like a almost like a mathematic nature to it.
Yeah.
But exploring those lines, they're kind of interesting.
Yeah, I was just looking at those.
Yeah.
And how like it's saying like things change within like our lifetime, you know, like the nursery is an early language no longer
mm-hmm.
spoken. Like, so thing, you know,
yeah.
like, times are changing and everything,
yeah.
but the staircase still remains. Like, the science and the math behind, like, in our life
mm-hmm.
still
mm-hmm.
remains. Like, nothing changes in science and math, you know? That's, like,
the
a very concrete,
with
like,
everything changing
yeah.
for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And just a note, like, I was kind of reading it myself,
mm-hmm.
but the attic, there's a subscript that says that attic, it means, like, a dialect of ancient Athens or Attica, as well as the upper floor of a house.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I want to say, like, well, it has to be the dialect Attica for speaking of language. But I wonder if, and it's, well, it's capitalized because it's the beginning of a line. But I wonder if there's a sort of duality because it is at the top of
that's
the
what
poem,
I was thinking too,
and
yeah.
since it's at such like a mm. noticeable shape, I feel like its position could be noted.
Mm-hmm.
And
like it's the first, like one, like the second yeah. word, like the attic, and then it just like goes down from yeah. that kind of thing.
So it's the attic once, my nursery is like an early language no longer spoken.
Mm-hmm.
So my nursery is like an early language.
And then it kind of goes down the house almost a little bit.
Yeah.
Like
yeah
in that same kind of
so
spiral
looks
sequence.
Like with the attic being up top, it's kind of like, okay, you're beginning at the top of this house.
And
then as you go down, you're talking about the nursery. The nursery would mm-hmm. be like on a lower floor, talking about...
spiral staircase.
Mm-hmm. And then again to house oh, adults. Yeah. It's talking about, like, the adults downstairs, possibly.
So
it
seems,
it keeps following
yeah.
through.
It seems like this first sentence is saying something about how, attic, if it's an ancient dialect, and it's too small, again, to ever house adults, there's something about it, like, it's something, over time, it's lost some meaning. That's what
mm-hmm.
it feels like.
Yeah.
Like, it's early, it's too small, it can't house adults, whatever.
Right.
That can be interpreted as house adults just sounds like, well, it's lacking something. It's unable to fully express adults or something.
Mm-hmm.
But so that first sentence, I guess, the opening of the conch is making this statement.
Right. I also find it interesting that every single letter at the beginning of a line is capitalized.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wonder what that stands for. Maybe just like the start
yeah.
of something new, like the start of...
That is true.
Repeating the same cycle every time.
I feel
yeah,
like
yeah,
it
yeah.
makes, like, when you read
repetition.
It out loud, it makes it more abrupt.
Yeah.
Like, it makes it look like you're starting a new sentence, even if the punctuation
right.
isn't exactly there. You, like, no matter what, like, subconsciously, you read it a little bit more, like, stark
pronounced.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I don't know. Kind of like every line is its own restart. Like, even
mm-hmm.
though the attic once is all part of itself.
Yeah.
Like, the way I look at it, the way my eyes, it starts something new every
yeah,
time
yeah.
I go kind of like a cycle.
Yeah.
Like, just restarting a cycle.
Good point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, why do we think this is shaped both like a conch from Sicily, but like a... It looks like South America. And that's not just like a random observation. South America is mentioned
yeah,
in the poem.
Right.
So, something about this geography aspect and the, like... There's something connecting.
There's
it
something
here.
There.
They also mentioned Italy too.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of wondering what these like specific geography
mm-hmm.
spots do. They speak more to the cycle. Do they? Is
yeah.
it? Is it more
right, yeah.
like? I mean, I'm sure I have to be more educated in like the areas, but
maybe it's just like a bigger on a bigger scale. The cycle is seen on a bigger scale too.
Yeah.
Not
like
only
a universal,
just in little things
constant.
Like conches, you
uh-huh.
know, like because conches are. Relatively minuscule
yeah.
compared to
yeah
to like
yeah.
countries,
I like that image.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm.
So we see it like
oh, because like with the conch, like you can put that up to your ear and you are supposed to like be able to hear the sound of like the sea. So
oh,
it can
I didn't
connect
think
that,
about that
because yeah, we would do that when you're little and you can like hear like a shh, like as if the ocean waves are crashing.
Yeah.
So that could tie it back to representing like a possible symbol of you know something deeper than just the
yeah.
conch.
Yeah. And then I think, so the end you mentioned, like there's, Italy is mentioned, and then the end, the word il tempo is in Italian.
Right.
And which is noted in the poem itself. But it's, so it's, the final sentence reads, where is that period? Well, it says, summing up in a single word, il tempo, weather, speed, time. So if il tempo means, il tempo is... Well, like, a music term, too.
It's also, like, rhythmic.
Yeah, it's
you know?
Rhythmic.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that it more directly, like, translates to time in Italian, but since we use, like, Italian in our music and in our own, like, English speaking
right.
often,
yeah.
like, it has, like, a duality to it, and there's something more to it. So I wonder why weather, speed, and time are connected in this way.
Maybe because it's... applies to everywhere, you know, like how
yeah.
it explains South America, explains obviously it's in English and explains it's a conch from Sicily, you know, so it's kind of explaining all these different places, but weather, speed, and time are like the same cycles that go like apply everywhere, not you know
mm-hmm.
in all of the countries, like depend not depending on like the
yeah.
geography or the
so it's very like enduring
yeah
natural concepts
yeah and
yeah.
I like how you mentioned music because obviously when you mentioned tempo, that's going to come to reader's mind. That's not by accident. Mm-hmm. And tempo, our music is one of the things that, like, humans, you know, for some reason we have this huge connection with through all of time. So I think it's really powerful for to see something like that recurring all the time. Mm-hmm. Music is explained by the cycle.
Mm-hmm. And in the 16th line, it makes a reference to Rondo's calm finale. And that is noted at the bottom, Rondo, to be a reference to the musical form with recurring theme,
yeah.
Which is
a cycle.
Very in the theme of the poem.
Of
there's
course.
A theme, there's a rhythm, there's something. And that is connected to a furled calyx, one conclave. And a calyx is like a naturally occurring, like, flower mm-hmm. swirl, like the seeds and how they swirl,
mm-hmm.
which is ties back to Fibonacci and those sequences that occur in nature.
Right.
So, and that is mentioned, Fibonacci's mentioned more at the beginning, but then it comes back to this furled calyx, to Rondo's calm finale. So it feels like
it's all just
it's spiraling
the same,
back.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, this whole entire poem is just like, it's like another sequence in itself. Like, it just keeps mm-hmm. going back and back and back. Back to the beginning, if that makes sense.
And it's a little difficult. Like, I'm having trouble even finding. I feel like this poem two sentences in all? I believe I only see two total periods.
Right, there's a lot of commas.
Yeah, and so given, like, the short length of some of the lines and the kind of, like, awkward
yeah.
rhythm that gives to your speaking and reading, it's hard to find, like, as cohesive as this poem is and as easily as we're able to see a meaning, it's hard to find what the actual sentences mean. Like,
right.
if someone were to speak this out loud, I would have no idea.
I know.
It would sound like a word vomit. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
when you read it like this, when you're able to kind of go line by line and pick them apart, it makes sense.
Right.
But then putting it in the context of a sentence is kind of difficult. So, like, I see line 9, I think, is where the second sentence starts, and it doesn't end until the end,
mm-hmm.
and line 25. So we're starting talking about South America, silhouette, smooth path, coral enamel, paneling of floor.
And that's also where it starts to narrow again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. it does, at the end, it does use shorter, like, ideas, too, in the middle, with, like,
yeah,
the
that's
longer
right.
lines. We see, like, kind of, like, a sentence that connects to the next
uh-huh.
line and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But obviously it says summing up a single word, il tempo, weather, speed, time. And there's commas between all those, like, separating
mm-hmm.
different ideas.
So il tempo, like. Okay. Any other thoughts, observations about the poem?
I think overall I just think this poem is a full-on expression of the Fibonacci cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
in its sentences, in its meaning. I think all of it's just trying to express
yeah.
that,
like,
this is like a part of us, a part of
yeah.
nature.
And
there's
the way
purpose
yeah.
in the way it's structured and the way it's separated and everything like that.
I like that idea of purpose, because, like, when we're taught Fibonacci in school, we're taught that it's like this not random number sequence, because it occurs in nature and it's so consistent, and there's, like, the golden ratio and everything connected. So there's a purpose to the language into the expression of this poem, and then there's a purpose. It expresses, like, a purpose in nature
yeah.
and in rhythm and time. So
that is interesting.
It is. Okay. Well, thanks for joining us for another EAH podcast. This is Mia Young.
Ian Roy.
Sophia Papp.
And Anya Peters.
We'll see you in 2020. Cheers, Daddy.
Mm.